Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Ride Along, starring Kevin Hart and Ice Cube, then you are about to have it spoiled. We do not give a fudge about giving away the ending. That's on you from this point on. This is your Mission Zach spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
Good morning, everyone, or afternoon, or day, or whenever you're choosing to listen to this podcast, and welcome to the Leguizamarama experience. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to, don't start here. My name is Mish Wittrup. I'm one of the hosts, and you might know me from my days as a MasterChef expert. Why not? Let's rip that one out, because it's true. Be willing to bet that in terms of MasterChef Australia Season 1, I'm in the top 20% of experts of that show. I think that's fair.
Experts?
Yep. I think if there was a trivia... Okay. If there was a trivia night about MasterChef Australia Season 1, I think I could win.
If there was a trivia night about MasterChef Australia Season 1, yes.
Yes.
But expert, I reckon there's probably been like a PhD about MasterChef that's happened at one of the universities at some point in the last 10 years.
I don't think so.
I don't know. There's a lot of fucking weird PhDs, you know, just like
the impact of MasterChef on culinary
yes, television, an exploration 100%. Of media. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but I still think if there was a pub trivia night and that person who was doing their PhD, PhD.
You're not claiming anything other than an expertise in one season of one television show, so don't stress about saying PhD.
That's sick. I still think that I could beat that person at a pub trivia event for solely MasterChef Australia Season 1 2009. The person I'm currently having, the person I'm currently having a conversation with is my co-host and dear friend, Mr. Zachary T. Ruane.
Yeah, good.
And the T is for trouble.
Trouble.
You might know Zach from?
Just trying to hold in a burp just then, and I don't think I succeeded. You know, I tried to do a subtle burp, but there might, well, who knows? You be the judge, listener. Did you hear my burp underneath Mish's introduction to me?
I was having an argument with my partner the other day. Not like a full-on fight, like we're good, but we were having a bit of a disagreement on something. And I would say it was getting heated, but in the kind of like everything's going to be fine and we're going to go and have Thai food after this kind of argument. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the middle of the argument, I genuinely, like legitimately drooled. And he clocked it for sure, and I clocked it, but because we're in the middle of a heated argument, neither of us could talk about it. We haven't brought it up since, but I don't think I'll ever forget that in while arguing face-to-face with him, being like, you just don't understand, a big drool went from the corner of my lip and just, like, oozed out of my mouth and fell to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. My dog started drooling. It's a thing she does sometimes when you hold a tasty treat in front of her. So that's like a link we have there. You drooled during an argument and my dog recently drooled when looking at a tasty treat.
I love finding common ground with you.
That's what it's all about here on Mission
at the Leguizamarama experience. Do you think that we should have called it the Leguizamarama experience?
Absolutely. You know my thoughts on that.
yes, yeah, absolutely. You know that I've regretted that every day of my life since.
Yeah, hindsight is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? The things we would have changed about this podcast, for example, the doing of it. Mm. I think there are so many things that we would have changed.
The thing about an actor, I'm realizing, and this is no shade to Ride Along. I feel nothing for Ride Along. But the thing about an actor, right, it's good because you see a very broad range of things when you pick an actor. Mm-hmm. But if you pick a director or a writer, say, but a director, right, they can only make like one film every year at the absolute most. Mm-hmm. Most directors, it takes them about 3 years to make a film, right? So in a 30-year yes. career, you only have to watch 10 films. Mm-hmm. An actor can do, I'm learning, like 5 films in a year. And not only that, they don't have a huge amount of control unless they are the biggest actor in the world, unless they're in the top. Like John Leguizamo is in the top 100, but unless you're in the top 20?
Yep.
10?
Yep.
5? I think Leonardo DiCaprio is the only actor that can, like, ensure that all of his films are good. That's not a judgment on his acting ability, but rather on his, like, position.
No, I don't. I kind of agree, but I think that a lot of actors in that top 20 have more control over whether it's a yes or a no to doing something.
Mm.
Where I'm not saying that John is forced into doing some movies. I think John, my kind of assessment of this guy who we have been, you know, watching weekly now for over a year, my assessment of this guy is that he is a workhorse.
Yeah, he loves
to, like, I'm assuming he hates unemployment.
Yeah, just like, sitting around. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hates sitting around, constantly wants to go, 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 and I respect that. I don't get it.
No, I'm a lazy lump.
I love working because it means I can stop at some point.
Yes. Yeah, I understand.
That is why I work. That's not a joke. I work.
Yeah.
I work purely for the ability to stop at some point. That's the satisfaction I get from any form of work is I'm doing this so I can stop doing this.
Can we change the, like, the intro of Leguizamarama to, hi, welcome to Leguizamarama, a little podcast where two lazy lumps watch a workaholic's au revoir.
Yes.
No, well, I agree with you on that, but I think what I was going to say is, like, if you pick a director, you're going to kind of go, all right, I like that director, thus I'm going to like most of what they do. Because they're the director. I like that writer. Thus, I'm going to like most of what they do up to a level, right?
Yes.
If you go, I like that actor, all you're guaranteeing is I'm going to like them in most of what they do.
Exactly. 100%. Yes.
Because I think that there's this misconception that actors are like curators, and it's true of a very, very – Brad Pitt is one.
Meryl Streep would be one.
Yes. You know, where they have the ability to kind of curate. Otherwise, the actor doesn't really have the power in that situation. And occasionally you have to watch films that you're just not in the mood for.
But also, like also, if you take an actor like Meryl Streep or Brad Pitt, yeah, the start of their career would be a bit shoddy. But granted, the last 20 years for both of those people, I'm willing to bet we could watch each of those movies and find a redeeming quality in each of the films that we watch. Because for the last 20 years, they've had all the power in their career. John Leguizamo should have all the power. He can stop. Like, John.
No, we're not saying that. John, you don't have to stop. I got no shame.
I'm not telling him he has to stop. I'm saying that he can.
But I don't know if he, like, it's just different. I think it's different for John. John isn't, although Meryl Streep, do you know the issue with Meryl Streep is someone somewhere along the way told her she could be a music theatre star, and that's the one thing that got in her ear.
I hear what you're saying. and also, like, you take someone like Cher, who's, like, one of Meryl Streep's best friends. Cher, incredible performer. Also, amazing actor. You cannot tell me otherwise.
Mm.
And I think Meryl was like, I think I'm kind of like the Cher of film. And it's like, I respect you. I respect you, Meryl.
Do you know
very good.
Do you know what I would say on that? Here's the two types of actors where you can get a degree of curation in their work. If do you know what I mean when I say curation? Because it's not right. I'm not using the word in the right sense.
Then no.
Like I think so. Like in the sense that like they can say no to things, and by them being in it, it's a indicator of quality, right? And how rare that is, you know? Because like a Leonardo DiCaprio can say no and not work for 3 years and then say yes to something in 3 years' time. Same with and Meryl Streep is the same. Brad Pitt has a bit of that. What's his name? There Will Be Blood guy does that.
Oh, Daniel Day.
Daniel Day Lewis, except he did Nine, which is the weirdest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
Nine is so fun. Firstly, the musical Nine is very fucking weird. Why anyone would take that musical and go, I'm going to turn that into a film?
Well, why anyone would take the film 8.5 and go, I'm going to turn that into a musical? It's just wacko. It's wacko on wacko, that film.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh God, it's so I kind of want to rewatch it now because I forgot just how wacko that movie is, and I'm having these flashbacks to how cooked of a film that is. Like,
yeah,
and he's just like, really I designed shoes. I'm a movie also, man. No, he doesn't design shoes. He just has nice shoes.
Would be less weird if it wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis.
If they'd cast
a musical theater actor. It would be less weird, but it's because it was Daniel Day-Lewis, and then they put Nicole Kidman in there and Kate Hudson. It's kind of
Fergie.
Whoa,
Fergie's
whoa,
in it.
I'm connecting stuff. Do you remember Titan AE?
Yes.
How could we forget? You know how they were like, "This is a fucking animated film. We're gonna put Matt Damon and Janine Garofalo in these roles." When they're not voice actors, brilliant actors, brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. But they're not voice actors. It's the same with musicals turned into film. Like, don't cast those people.
But then occasionally it works. Like, Thingy was good in Les Miserables, wasn't she?
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway was good in Les Miserables.
Yes. There are a few exceptions to the rule.
There's kind
Daniel
of no
Day-Lewis
rules.
Is not one.
No, the thing with that movie, right, that is like wacko on wacko because that's 8.5, which is a real auteur kind of film. Like that's a film of someone who's like knows what they want to do with, you know, like it's a singular vision of a film, right?
Yes.
And then it was kind of interesting that someone was like, hey, I'd love to make a musical of this. That's a step that you go, oh, okay. But if you really think there's value in taking that story and if you really see value in the act of adaptation, then you go for it. Go for it. And then the musical happened and I think it's interesting. The film is interesting. The musical is interesting in its adaptation. And then someone said that musical would make a great film. And then no one said to them, well, yes, it did make a great film.
Yes, it did. A while ago, before it was a musical.
And then they did the film. Because the film is directed by like a journeyman sort of music theatre director. I'm probably speaking shade.
I have no idea.
Like, I'm
I saw the movie once and I was just like, this sucks.
I'm pretty sure it's directed by the guy who did... I'm Googling it because I'm pretty sure it's directed by the guy who did like Into the Woods and shit and like Chicago.
Really?
Yeah,
Chicago
Rob Marshall.
Was good.
Rob Marshall. Richard Gere didn't do Into the Woods, but he did do Chicago.
Richard Gere is an exception to the rule. Richard Gere in the Chicago movie.
Yeah.
Very good.
Also great in the Chicago movie is Mr. Cellophane. What's his name?
John C. Reilly, but John C. Reilly, that's a different thing.
John C. Reilly, everything.
Yeah, John C. Reilly can do no wrong, ever, ever, ever. John C. Reilly does no wrong.
So Rob Marshall...
I kind of have a bit of a thing for John C. Reilly.
I don't blame you. Rob Marshall...
Yeah, but like, Yeah.
He directed Chicago, Mary Poppins Returns, and Into the Woods, right? He's the guy when you want to film at a, like a mid-budget, mid-level of success, hope for Oscar noms, not wins, adaptation. No shade to Rob Marshall, but he's the guy you get for the studio adaptation of a musical, right? And he did a good job. I think Chicago is underrated, right? But yeah, he's not.
Well,
the,
I don't. I think it's rated. I think Chicago
was rated.
Massive when
it's rated.
It's rated. It's like not Chicago under was or huge. Over.
It's yeah. But Nine is a real cuckoo movie, and it probably should have had a cuckoo director. The cuckoo choice to make 8.5 needed a cuckoo director, and it had it. The cuckoo choice to adapt 8.5 into a musical needed to be cuckoo, and I'm sure it was. And then this film needed a cuckoo director. But the most cuckoo choice of all is to have a really, like, normal director. And then they cast Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis. They cast John Proctor.
What a cuckoo choice. And then Fergie's in it.
I forgot about Fergie being in it.
Fergie's in it.
Here's a fun fact, because I'm over the bullshit of facade that I had in my early 20s. Big Girls Don't Cry, that song by Fergie.
Yeah.
What a banger.
I can't think of it.
I'll send it to you. It's a banger. It's not Bleeding Love Leona Lewis.
No.
But it's a banger.
Hey, the poster, I'm looking at the poster for Nine.
I'm pulling it up now.
And it says, this holiday season, be Italian.
Oh, stop it. I hate it. I hate them.
Enough is the weirdest fucking movie about like a cuckoo dude making his own movie.
Judi Dench is in it.
Isn't
Sophia Loren, remember that? Sophia Loren was in it as well.
It's a very, like, it's not a normal musical. It's like, what?
Do you have a favourite?
Musical?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to share it?
Yes.
Why are you looking at me like, how dare I ask?
I'm trying
you that
to
question?
Think of if I give the gut answer or the, like, in my mind answer.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go.
Ooh, this is fun. Can I ask you questions three?
I reckon we're going to get teased for this because I reckon I've told you before. What do you want me to do? Do you want to do my gut answer? Like what my, I think we'll go gut.
Your gut.
Like my, this is my answer. Like,
okay.
It's not perfect. It's not intellectually the best musical. It's the one that I have, that's whole, like, it, in my heart.
Is it Les Mis?
No.
Okay. So it's somebody. The Les Mis is somebody's. Someone has told me that's their favourite musical before. Can I ask you some questions? Can I ask you questions three?
You can ask as many questions as you
has
want.
It been
this is your podcast,
has it been a,
mate.
Three questions. Has it been adapted into a movie?
Yes.
Was that movie one that came out in the last 10 years?
No.
Is it Little Shop of Horrors?
No.
Fuck. Fuck.
Do you
fuck
want me to
it.
Do another questions
fuck.
Three?
Yes, I'll do another questions three. The movie, do you know for a fact
don't,
that
don't I've... like, don't focus on the movie is what I would say.
Okay.
It's not the why musical. I love it.
The musical. Do you know for a fact that I have seen it or know it?
You 100% know of it. Everyone knows
I
of
know
it.
I know of it. Everyone knows of it.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest musicals of all time. One of.
The one of the biggest musicals of all time.
One of. It's in the top, like, it's
I wonder if it's my favourite.
No,
I'll ask another question. You don't think so?
No.
All right, then it's okay. I'm not. This is not a question. It's a statement. It means it's not Rocky Horror.
I do like Rocky Horror, but no.
Rocky Horror is my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
It. I will say. It's a similar kind of place in my heart. Not like it hit me at a similar age. I you know, it's from a similar age that I discovered it.
I swear you've told me this before.
I'm sure I've talked about it on this podcast.
Oh, my God. I just wish I paid
I've
attention when you
about
spoke.
It on my social media.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's a particular production.
God.
There's a particular recording of it that is my favourite.
I hate myself. Is it a Sondheim?
No.
I hate myself.
It's
I
not
literally...
like you've got to get past Zach pretending to be a wanker. Like what Zach's, like get to the core
of
me.
Well, that's why I thought it would be Little Shop of Horrors, because it's like that's just Zach liking musicals.
I saw Little Shop of Horrors years ago, and I know that it should be one of my favorites. I've seen the original film of Little Shop of Horrors recently, but I haven't seen the musical in a very, very long time.
I love Little Shop of Horrors.
I think a lot of people have been in productions of Little Shop of Horrors, that's where they hold why it holds a place in their heart. I've never been in a production of it.
Oh, okay. Is it a drama?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So, but it's not like comedy-led. No. Okay. I think I might know.
Okay.
No, but I'm scared because it's probably wrong.
That's all right. That's fine.
But okay, I have one more. Okay,
this
no,
game,
I have one
can
question.
I just say, Mish, the point of this game is for the listener to have a fun time, not for you to guess. So it doesn't matter if you're wrong.
Let us know if you're having a fun time, if you'd like us to shut the fuck up. I have one more question because I've got two in my head.
Yeah.
And I've got one more question. This question will decipher whether it's one or the other. And I'm probably wrong on both fronts, and I'm going to kick myself when you tell me what
that's
it
right.
is.
I'm not going to tell you.
Is it about, is it, okay, is the storyline based on a Shakespeare play?
No.
Okay, so it's not West Side Story. Is it Phantom of the Opera?
No.
Fuck, what is it?
It's Hotter, You're Hot with Phantom of the Opera.
I knew, fuck. So it's not Phantom of the Opera, it's not Les Mis, it's one of those big belty fucking ballad bullshit ones.
You're Hot, but it is like a trashy one, but no it isn't because I love it. You're Hotter.
Is it Guys
with,
and Dolls? Is it Guys
no,
and Dolls?
No, you're on the money. The hottest you've been is Phantom of the Opera. Not Les Mis, not Guys and Dolls. Phantom of the Opera.
Is it an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical?
Yes.
Is it Cats?
No.
It's an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
Someone's gonna do a quick Google.
I have no idea what. Listen to the tapping.
Tap, 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 tap. Someone's doing a quick Google.
I'm looking up Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. So it's not Cats.
It's a particular recording as well, a particular performance, a particular, like...
It's not Evita. It's not Phantom of the Opera.
No, Phantom of the Opera.
Evita, don't cry for me.
Evita, whilst it has, Phantom of the Opera, whilst it has a couple of banger singles, the second act is a little draggy, IMHO.
Can you just tell me? This is going to kill me.
Come
Go.
On. I can't believe you
no,
don't know
No, I don't know.
This.
I hate this. I don't know why I don't know this.
Ex-Catholic kid fucking...
I know you've told me and this is driving me crazy. And
I don't remember. Recording. I'll tell you. The recording's from 1993. It's an Australian cast version of it, a concert production. It's...
Oh, my God.
The
I
musical
hate
is from the 70s.
It's
one of his
musical.
Earliest musicals. I'm an ex-Catholic kid, so it's got to surely resonate with some of those themes in my life. I can't believe you don't know.
I have no idea, and this is killing me.
Are you
me
looking at his biography? I'm. Like,
it's not coming up. Oh, I know what it is, and I didn't see it online, but I know exactly what it is. You've told me 100 times.
100 times.
It's the Technicolor Dreamcoat one.
No,
what is it?
Technicolor Dreamcoat's Old Testament.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
That's what I meant as Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, my goodness. I don't really like
Technicolor
Dreamcoat.
I knew it was Jesus Christ Superstar. I hate myself.
I love Jesus Christ Superstar so much.
Oh, I'm so mad. It. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm so mad.
I love Jesus Christ Superstar.
You've told me that so much.
All right,
Zach?
Now intellectually, now Wanker Zach, what's his favourite musical?
I don't
it's
know.
It's a draw.
It's a draw.
It's a draw. It's actually three. No, my 3 second places to Jesus Christ Superstar, and it's equal second, Chicago, Urinetown, and Book of Mormon.
That's good. That's really
because
good.
I think musicals at their best use irony. Little wanky fact about Zach.
That's nice. I like Rocky Horror's number one.
Yep.
And then we go to Book of Mormon because it's very funny.
Yeah.
I also really, really enjoy a chorus line.
Yep.
But my favourite is actually a movie.
Oh, can I guess it?
Yeah.
All right.
cold.
I don't know if you'll guess it. It's a wanky answer. All right, actually, no. I was just listing them off then. I have one more that's my favourite that isn't a movie, and it's see if you can guess it.
I want to guess the movie, but I
don't think you've seen.
Is it an old one?
I don't think you'll get it. And I'm not trying to be an asshole about that. I truly don't know if you'll get it.
Morning Melodies 1934.
No, it's called All That Jazz.
Oh, I know of All That Jazz. It's the memoir of the dancer.
Well, apparently it is.
Oh, right.
Fosse.
Yeah, no.
It's meant to be the story of Bob Fosse.
Yes, no, I know All That Jazz. Have you watched New York, New York? I haven't, but Martin Scorsese did a musical in the 70s.
No.
Apparently it's him kind of riffing on those old school musicals that you love so much, but also having the complexity and depth of character of his other
films.
I'd
love it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know if it would work or not. There's apparently you got to watch the director's cut. That's what I've heard. Anyway, your musical, let me guess, is it a big one? Big one?
So wait, hold on. We've already said that Rocky Horror is my favourite.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to guess your third favourite musical.
Yeah.
Just
so
tell me.
I don't think that's what?
Just tell me.
I already said it, so you probably would have gotten it. It's Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah. I also love little side note. I also love Company by Sondheim.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I just think Chicago is fucking great.
Oh, it's fucking
not Chicago.
Sick.
Did I say Chicago? Oh, I feel so bad for Chicago. If you're listening, Chicago, I'm so sorry.
Somewhere in the world, Catherine Zeta-Jones is kicking,
I
kicking
meant
herself.
To
I
say,
thought he loved me. I thought I'm, he loved me.
It's because we were talking about not. I meant to say Cabaret.
Oh, Cabaret is so good.
I love Cabaret. And
the
I love
song, maybe This Time.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the most heartbreaking, beautiful songs.
And
Liza, Darling is so wonderful.
And Life is a Cabaret, like the song in it, when you watch the show and the context of where that's happening at like the lowest point in her life.
Yeah.
And it's like it's such a sad song and it's ironic. It's like it's this big belty, beautiful, positive song, but it's sung at the lowest point. That's I think, when music theatre is at its best is when it's ironic, is when it's playing against the truth.
You're in Town is fantastic at that.
Mm. As is Book of Mormon to a degree, but less so. Book of Mormon's deeper than people give it credit for, I think.
Yeah, it's smart. It's very smart. Look, do you know what's great about this podcast?
What?
Is that we can go from talking about musical theatre to Ride Along starring
good.
Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
I feel like we've left the strand unfinished, and I would love to, before we talk about Ride Along, just backtrack a little bit and find what that strand was. My feeling is it was around 9 and the getting off, that's when we started to leave the point.
Yeah,
9.
And then I said, what is your favourite music? You said something like, it's not my favourite. And I'm like, well, what is it? Let me guess. And then we had some friendly
But now
bets.
We're diving back into exactly the same thing. We're moving backwards, not forwards.
I think, Zach, I don't think we need to step back. I think we could just chug forward.
I just feel like there was a point left hanging. Why were we talking about 9, Mish? Why
I
were
don't
we
remember.
Talking about 9?
Why
because
did we,
we were
how
talking,
did we start
about,
talking about 9?
We were talking about Daniel Day-Lewis. We were talking about, yes. There was a point I was going to make.
Yeah.
The two types of people, and then we can talk about Ride Along. The two, I should take notes. The two types of people, Michelle Wittrup, types of actors that you can kind of get a sense that they're going to guarantee the quality of the film is one.
Oh.
The biggest stars, absolute biggest stars, and they're not necessarily a guarantee that they're the best actors, but the sort of person that can do one film and that pays for the next 5 years. You know, there's no stress about saying no. There's no sense of needing to keep their career afloat, right?
Yes.
There's not many of them. Number two, and this is a bit cuckoo crazy, is people that aren't actors first and foremost. It's sure that made me think of that. People that are not first and foremost actors because they can say no to films because they can go, well, I'll just do an album instead, or I'll just do
So, like, there's a layer there. Like, Cher has a pretty spotless record of films, doesn't she?
I don't know. She's burlesque.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
And she did Mamma Mia 2.
Yeah, but I haven't seen Mamma Mia 2, but I reckon she'd be great in that film.
But that's the thing. Cher is amazing in all of these films. Cher can do no wrong. I honestly don't feel like she can step a foot wrong. Everything's great. She has roses tattooed all over her ass. And even that's that, so well done. Good, that's
How
great.
How big is she in Moonstruck?
Moonstruck is one of – it's in my top 20. We need to do an episode of our top 20 favourite films because Moonstruck is in there. Have you ever seen the movie Mask?
Like so long ago. Like it was on television once. How long ago?
She is outrageous in that. Have you ever seen Mermaids?
No.
Oh! That's your homework for this week, my friend. Mermaids, Cher. Bob Hoskins and Cher have most incredible chemistry. It is so good. Winona Ryder is like primo Winona. Christina Ricci's in it and she's like 3 or something.
Wow.
It's sick.
I love that. It's that sick. Sounds so good.
Oh,
she's
Mermaids
so good.
Is sick.
I didn't love A Star Is Born, the newer Star Is Born. I didn't hate it. But my first thing that hit me was that the Italian family stuff was good, but I'd recently watched Moonstruck. And I was like, it's good, but it's no Moonstruck.
Olympia Dukakis, who plays Cher's mother in Moonstruck.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize I was untapping such a...
Yeah, I didn't even have to look that up. Olympia Dukakis is so good. She's also in the Look Who's Talking films.
If you're a fan of I'm trying to think of like multi-track style Italians talking over each other, not quite sure what's written and what's improvised hubbub over the dinner table scenes, then Moonstruck is the best of the lot.
The best.
Yes, right along.
It's the best. We have about 15 minutes left of this podcast now. We have to show Ride Along a little bit of respect.
We do.
Because you never know. We might have some Ice Cube fans that have jumped on board. Yeah, hello. No.
Hello, Ice Cube.
Do you guys like Chicago? What do you guys think? What's your third favourite musical adapted to film? Anyway, we watched Ride Along this week. The reason we watched this one is because it was on Netflix, easily accessible, and Zach and I wanted something that was easy to watch.
So yeah, that we didn't have to, buy
I didn't want
something.
To purchase something this week. My God.
You've gotten me – this podcast has gotten me in a real habit of, like, buying things. If I'm in the mood for anything, I'll just be like, well, then I'll buy it. And, like, I'll, like, go to, like, Apple or YouTube. Mm. And it really throws me when it's not available anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
It's like it fucks me up.
I'm not going to tell that story. Let's just keep going.
You sure? All right.
No, because it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, I'm not going to tell the story because I've decided to hold back, but I want to let everyone know that I was just about to embarrass myself.
Do you want to have a think about whether you want to tell that story?
I'm right? very sure I don't.
Yeah,
I'll totally. Tell you. I'll tell you once we're off.
I'm so okay with you not telling that story. Yeah. Hey, what TV show was Ice Cube in? Because I feel like I want to make a joke about that. But
I think you're missing Ice Cube up with Ice-T.
No, I'm not. No, their names are very similar.
Yeah.
So Ice-T was in...
like NCIS or something, one of those shows.
Yeah, but Ice Cube was in NWA.
Ice Cube was in the Friday films.
Yeah, right. So Fuck the Police was Ice Cube? Was NWA Ice Cube? It was Fuck the Police?
I don't know. All I can think of is that song is that boop, boop, it's the sound of the police, which was in this film.
NWA is Fuck the Police. Okay, great. Just I'm going to be improvising this intro. I got to be real with you right now.
Okay.
The movie was slightly longer than I thought. All right, so here we go. Are you ready for this?
So ready.
Ride Along is a 2014 American buddy cop action comedy film directed by Tim Story, the best and second best of the recent Fantastic Four films, starring Kevin Hart, the best and third best of the Jumanji films, and Ice Cube, who wrote Fuck the Police. Johnny Legs... Co-wrote.
Don't fuck with his co-writers. Yeah.
It tells the story of Ben Barber Hart, a high school security guard who must prove to his girlfriend's brother, James Payton Ice Cube, that he is worthy of marrying her. James, a police officer out to catch a Serbian smuggler's boss, takes Ben on a ride along to prove himself. John Leguizamo plays one of James's co-police people, but maybe there's more there than it seems.
We've already said we're going to spoil it. Johnny Legs ends up being the bad man.
He's a
crooked cop.
Crooked, but they're yes.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, they all are in this movie. They do so many things that would make them lose their jobs.
Yes.
So, like, buddy cop films are not in my repertoire. Not in terms of, like, I can't do them. Of course I can't act them. But, like, they're not in my file of facts of, like, fun information. I don't know a lot about buddy cop films. But what I do know is that, my God, they don't ask cops any questions before they write and or perform in these films. Mm. Because there are so many things that happen in buddy cop films that they would just lose their job. You cannot run out onto a freeway with your badge in the air screaming, LAPD, stop, stop. Physically take the driver of the car out, throw them onto the ground and speed off in their vehicle, only to then trash that vehicle. That is not legal practice. You can't do that.
But that's why his like fed up boss is like, you got to start thinking about the rules of engagement, Ice Cube.
No.
Because you say that, but then like his boss says the same thing to him. He's like, you can't do the explosions. You got to start thinking about the rules of engagement, Ice Cube.
Yeah, I know that. But like if I was Ice Cube's boss, I would fire him. And I don't think he would have grounds for unfair dismissal. It's not like I should have gotten a warning because what you did nearly killed somebody.
Yeah, but
you
he does say that,
property.
Mish. He goes, well, you did nearly killed somebody. I'm shortening your leash, Ice Cube.
But then doesn't, though. But then does not shorten his leash. And then Ice Cube goes off and saves the day with Kevin Hart.
But a couple of times he calls him and he goes, what are you doing, Ice Cube?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, everything you know you're saying, everything you're saying as a plot hole, his like boss is like, you better, I'm going to come down on you.
What I did love so much about this movie was how often they slipped Johnny Legs, who ends up being the bad guy. So at the end of the day, Johnny Legs ends up being like
not
assisting. He's not Lawrence Fishburne, who
Lawrence
ends up
Fishburne
being
is the
bad guy.
Bad guy. What a great thrill when Lawrence Fishburne
of course,
comes
but
in.
Lawrence Fishburne's also third credited in this movie, so you're waiting for him until
yes,
the final seventh of the film, and then he pops up. It's like, well, of course he's the bad guy. But Johnny Legs ends up being like he's assisting the bad guy. He's a cop, but he's assisting the bad guy. And it was so clear about two-thirds of the way through this movie that Johnny Legs was a bad guy because they kept bringing Johnny Legs in as much as possible for no reason. Mm. Like Johnny Legs would just be there giving them information and he would just kind of be standing around. It's like, why is Johnny Legs acting like an extra when he's Johnny Legs?
I was like he's in it a lot more than I thought.
Mm.
You're so right about Lawrence Fishburne. It would have been so much better if he was uncredited.
Well, yeah, like when they – have you ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
That's the one, yeah. Yeah,
like
Sigourney Weaver.
They don't put her in on anything so
that's
that when
great.
Sigourney Weaver pops up, everyone's like, oh, my God, it's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
They should have done that with Ride Along.
But, yeah. I reckon there was, like, a moment where, like, the studio was like, hey, so, you know, we're going to put Lawrence Fishburne – we're going to credit Lawrence Fishburne because his agent asked for it and he was just like, oh, all right. And he, like, said to someone probably, he was like, does that kind of – and they're like, nah, look, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I really like that. I really enjoyed that bit of the film. I really enjoyed the bit where – so there's this bit because I, you know –
I do comedy. So comedy that's like kind of plot heavy is not really my cup of tea. But the bit where Kevin Hart has to pretend that he is the big bad guy.
Yeah, it's funny.
I was only half watching and then that bit came on and I really, really enjoyed it. And I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Lawrence Fishburne. That run was really good. And usually those sorts of movies devolve into just subpar action at that point. But that film had that, but there was just this one run that I had a really good time watching where he had to shoot people and bluff, and it was like, yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I didn't go into this with very high expectations. Kevin Hart makes me laugh from time to time, but I'm not like a massive fan or anything like that. No offense, Kevin. I know you're listening. You're very talented, but it's not my thing. But I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch a Kevin Hart film. I can say that I laughed out loud at two occasions in this film.
That's great. That's
now,
really good.
Now, I don't remember what they were.
No.
But I do, and I was sitting by myself. It's not like I was laughing to, assist someone else in enjoying the film or some bullshit. I was just sitting by myself in my lounge room in my underwear, eating my coconut yogurt, and I laughed twice. I made this sound.
Which is, I will say,
which
a
is
credit.
a big credit when you no one
no
ever
one laughs when they're watching
no one laughs.
Home.
Can I say, okay, this is a little bit of a high five to my friend Zach Trouble Ruane over here.
Yeah, the tea is for
I
trouble.
Remember. No, this is just, I want to give you a little bit of a pat on the back. I remember the first time I ever watched Bargain Boys 2. which is, for those of you out there that don't know that Zach is in a sketch comedy group, he's in a sketch comedy group called Auntie Donna. It's excellent.
We're fine.
I was sitting by myself in my bedroom and I was like, oh, I'll watch the latest Auntie Donna video. And I chucked on Bargain Boys 2 and I don't remember a time I've ever laughed out loud so much in my life. I had to pause it and I was by myself. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when you're by yourself and you actually laugh.
Trying to think,
very often.
I did that. Something made me laugh the other day. That was, I think, I was reading something that made me laugh. It was like it was one of those ones where it was like, that's ridiculous that made me laugh.
Mm.
But I can't think of what it was for the life of me.
Mine's Bargain Boys 2. I remember that. I also remember the first time I watched Superbad. So I would have been like 19 or 18.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw Superbad, and I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I liked
that. Conan O'Brien's Clueless Gamer stuff.
Yeah.
He does a Clueless Gamer with Bill Hader where they review God of War.
That sounds
I only watched
funny.
It recently and I laughed out loud. Like I by myself because that's so I'm in a relationship and I live with a housemate, but for some reason I'm all alone. Oh, that's so depressing. I was by myself watching Clueless Gamer Conan clips and his clip with Bill Hader doing God of War. I laughed out loud.
That's very – I'm going to watch that as soon as we're done.
Yeah, you should. I'll send it to you.
Please do.
We don't have much time here, so I just have two words to say about Johnny Legs in this film.
Mm.
Hello, Daddy.
Daddy Guzzamo.
We have full Daddy Guzzamo. This is potentially, in my opinion, maybe the sexiest he's ever looked. In my opinion.
Yes.
I love a Daddy Guzzamo.
Yeah.
I'm not taking away from the days of yore of sexy Luigi.
Yeah.
But I have a thing for Daddy Guzzamo and he is daddy in this film. And I love that he's in a cop getup when he's like, I'm a good cop. But then when he's a bad cop, he's in a dirty tank top. Man, that was great. We're talking like Land of the Dead is probably my favorite in terms of like given me the horn, but this is right up there with like full daddy, loving every second of it. Thank you.
Mm. Great. I'm really happy for you. No, he's absolutely full Daddy Guzzamo in this film and we're really proud of him. John, if you're listening, congratulations on being sexy at any age.
At any age. do you do it? How do you fucking do it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I was really, like, chuffed that he was in it as much. When I saw that he was, like, the assistant, I was like, oh, he's going to be in it, like, for two scenes.
Yeah.
And he was in it heaps. And he was in it in a way that I really enjoy. Like, it's kind of one of my favourite types of John Leguizamo performance where it's, like, easy but, like, easy, lightly comedic kind of vibes, you know? He was just, like... He wasn't like a...
Enjoying himself.
Yeah, and the comedy wasn't on him and the drama wasn't on him. He was just like, it was just an easy but like substantial John Leguizamo part, you know, for
and,
any...
And he had a he had like an impact on the film, which is what we always look for.
Mm-hmm.
His role was crucial to the film going forward. You know what I mean?
It was... It was a, you know, like if Romeo and Juliet, his one man shows, and Tu Wong Fu are a Leguizamil.
Yeah.
This was a Leguiznack.
A Leguizasnack.
Leguiznack.
Leguiznack.
This was a Leguiznack. You know,
and we got to see him do a bit of action. He had a punch on with Ice-T. Ice Cube, not Ice-T.
But they've got the same similar names. One is the Ice-T. Ice Cube and Ice-T are both two very threatening sounding names until you think of the thing they're named after.
But also, like, who came first?
It is important. We do need to know that.
Who came first, the Ice-T or the Ice Cube? Because whoever was first, the other, like, trod on their name a little bit.
Who do you think came first?
I think Ice-T is older.
But Ice Cube is... No, I think Ice-T is the cleverer name, isn't it?
Yes.
Ice-T is more clever. Yeah.
Yes.
Who
knows? What's your Leguistamo rating, Zachary?
Leguistamo. Well, you got to go. It's got to be a decent one because it was a good Leguiznack.
I'm going to go straight out and say I think it's a 4.
I'm going to say a 3.5.
Okay.
But I'm going to say, like, in the same way that, like, at a fancy restaurant that you're spending $200 on, 3.5 is a bad score. Well, restaurant is bad because they do it out of 3 hats or 3 stars. So it's got a movie, an Oscar movie that gets 3.5 with, you know, all the – that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But like a snack that gets 3.5, that's a good score for a snack.
I would have given it 3.5, but I'm giving it an extra half because he made me horny.
Yeah. Great, that's good. I think that's fantastic. I want to say this is a 3.5 Leguistamos from Zach, but if I were to give a packet of chips 3.5 stars, you'd go, hey, that's a pretty good score for a packet of chips. That sounds like a tasty Leguisnack that will satiate me until my next viewing of Romeo plus Juliet between meals.
Beautiful. Hey, well, Mitch. Look, and look, I would recommend that if people want a really piss easy watch and they're up for a laugh, watch it. It is on Australian Netflix. Don't know about it overseas, but right now, currently in Australia, you can watch it on Netflix. And it's a bit of a laugh. There are funny moments in it. There genuinely are. I'm not trying to be like, maybe. No, genuinely, I had a bit of a laugh. An easy watch. Bloody good for those lockdown times. You know what I mean?
And we know it has been tough for everyone out there in lockdown in Australia. A lot of the states are still in lockdown. So Mish has prepared a little song about Ride Along.
About it?
Yeah. No, you haven't. Okay. I'm fucking with you.
I was going, this is what went through my head in that 3 seconds. Okay, I'm going to do this because you have to say yes.
Yeah.
But as soon as we end this podcast, I'm going to be like, Zach, can you stay back for like 2 minutes? Don't ever fucking do that to me again. So anyway, I'm gonna end this podcast with a little song.
Right.
I'll see you next week. when we're reviewing something else. It's gonna be a movie because we've run out of small projects that John has been involved in. Thank you for listening to Ride Along, starring Ice Cube and Kevin Hart and Leguizamo.
Thank you so much, Mishra Trupp.
Thank you, Zachary Trouble Ruain.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.